I'm happy to not only to train, but ordain and anoint the rightful tohungas that will only carry the duties to invest, anoint, e rangatira, tohunga, and ariki. That's my duty. That's why I'm here. In 1896, Ngamaru Povaru, the prince and also the paramount chief of Atu, did try and connect Samoa and some other little islands in the middle of Polynesia, bringing that connectivity of Polynesia together. And in 1948, there also been another attempt. My grandfather came here, went to Tokomaru Bay, and tried to establish the same thing. I came here only to observe and see where we are, where I can help our Maori people to open up their inner iro, their heart, to understand that this is not the only way to go around succeeding the tribunal or the waitangi. We need to actually get the life siblings, life issue, or person that is alive today to succeed to the person that signed, or tino rangatiratanga, that signed the treaty. Now, that's the last secret, that the system will not be happy if we manage to do that. That's the secret that's been hidden amongst all of us. I'll tell you right now, the last hope of Pacifica, Polynesia, is Aotearoa. This is where the last light of our well-being and our sustainability, who we are, in our spiritual, mentally, and physical, is here.
Oh, that's a big statement that you're making.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Green Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Green Planet FM 104.6. I am Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. We here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, are in a unique position, being surrounded by the majestic Pacific Ocean, as well as being an extension of the Polynesian Triangle that stretches vast distances across the largest ocean on Earth. Connecting from Hawaii to Easter Island to Aotearoa, New Zealand, the other main island groups within this triangle are Samoa, Tonga, the Cook Islands, Tuvalu, Niue, Futuna, Wallace, and French Polynesia, otherwise known as Tahiti. Imagine if all these island peoples were unified as a greater Polynesia. Could this be a future reality? Somewhere hidden in their DNA. For all Polynesians, they inherently know that there is a sacred connection. In the studio this morning, I have Tui Manua Alia Te Putu Nui Oiva. And I wish to say, kia rana, welcome to the studio this morning.
Yeah, kia rana, Tim, how are you?
I'm very well. This is a wonderful time for us to be able to be with somebody from Rarotonga or the Cook Islands, which is north of New Zealand and in many ways is in the centre of the Polynesian Triangle. So I'm really glad that you're here with us to explain a little more about your origins.
Yes, thank you, Tim. I think the main core issue here is based on where I come from. Cook Islands was named after James Cook, Captain James Cook. But however, the only island that he discovered in 1773, 3rd of April, was Atu. He did not step ashore. There was only a couple of his commanders, or Lieutenant Gore and Doctor, that went ashore and talked to the chiefs and people on the island with the translator called Omai.
And Omai was the same translator who came from Tahiti?
Correct.
Yes, because he helped when Captain Cook came to Murawai Beach in 1769 in New Zealand, Aotearoa, and this Tahitian translator had enough knowing about the language to be able to communicate with Maori.
Correct, because Umari landed and first thing he did was the Terahongi with the paramount chief, Taurariki Tangapaturo. That's where my lineage come from. So the Hongi was not a Maori custom. It's also brought to Atu, the island of Atu, and to Aotearoa, even though the migration was earlier in 1250 or 1300 AD.
Uh-huh. So I did not know that the hongi was a Polynesian custom.
It is.
Fantastic. Oh, really good. Because a lot of people don't know, particularly overseas people, it is a touching of a nose and it is then touching of a forehead and sharing of breath. A very powerful and potent greeting, but you may wish to add to that too.
I think the hongi is some significant symbolic male-to-male connections, where especially when the high priest or tongas or arikis or paramount chief meets another, they not only they get the aura of the understanding from the head forehead, and the nose connects the forehead, which means te tarai. Te tarai means it's straight connection of the nose, which is the energy, and the katu or the rai or the head, forehead. Underlining of the forehead indicates to your opponent or to you how to identify the significance of your opponent or your person that you're meeting.
Yes, well, there's a whole sensitivity that we as a European or a Pākehā just doesn't understand that at all. And only through being hundreds and hundreds of years of in constant contact with other Polynesian people would your feeling and sensitivity come through on that. Well, to thank you. And could you tell us a little bit about the island and the culture that you come from, particularly as you are connected to great leadership in your past?
Yes, thank you, Tim. Enu Amanu, or also known as Atu, derives with many interpretations to ownership or even the spiritual mana on the island to do with political leadership involvements with the chiefs and arangatiras and mataiapus. We do differ from some of the islands. The Matahi has been significantly part of Samoa's culture, and also Ariki is also part of Tahiti, Samoa, Tonga, and also Hawaii and New Zealand Aotearoa, also known as Awaiki Toto. But because we don't understand the whole custom and tradition, what is the essence of it, I believe not only we're missing part of those structure, but I think we need to understand them, what is custom. I believe, Tim, in Enu Amanu Atu, or the island of Atu, the sovereignty ownership of it always come back to a lineage that come from ancient times. For the people like the seven leading chiefs that was created by Derek Maurangi, or other names known as Tare, in the 1275 AD, that establishment was done, was recorded orally. So custom is oral.
Okay, could you tell me what date was that again?
1275 AD.
Well, that's a long time ago.
Tim, to connect that particular era and time, it's your genealogy that actually takes you back to Whakapapa, tells you how you are the existing descendant of that particular primogenitor, or that tupuna of yours going right back.
When you say tupuna, your ancestors?
Correct.
Now, when you talk about the genealogy, the Māori call it Whakapapa. Now, this is the genealogy of the Rarotongan Cook Island people, your people. You used to track your genealogy essentially the same way as Māori.
Yeah, we call it Akapapa. The Māori's call Whakapapa. The papa'anga, a tupuna, basically is your genealogy connecting you back to your tupuna. Yes, correct.
And does this follow through the male side or the female side?
Only the male side.
Okay, thank you. Yes, very profound that mothers used to sing to their children their lineage, their whakapapa, and by the time their child was 4 years of age, they could track all the way back through their lineage to the canoes or the waka that came from Hawaiki here in New Zealand, and so it would be the same with your cultures up there, the singing of the lineage.
Yes, waiata or singing basically is done by the women, you're correct. However, going back to some of our ancestors, tupunas that left Atu or Enu Amanu, people like Te Riki Maurangi, Tahu Otarangi, Taratoa, Tikuiti, these are important, colourful ancestors of ours, and yours also in Aotearoa, that connects us together, who we are, what we are today.
You mentioned a name that you're Tikuiti. So this was a navigator who came from the islands to Aotearoa.
Yes, Tikiwiti is the son of Utawaro and Tani Kariki Tionio and Taputapuantia. Both of these parents and the father and mother comes from Inuamanu. Looking at Tikiwiti, he is the third in line of the royal family, and he was brought here by his uncle, Taratoa, and Tau Utarangi.
You've added another component with a royal family in here. And so, wishing to sort of lay this out for listeners, the royal family, could you again take us back to allow us to connect? This is a chieftain or chiefly class?
Yes, correct. The chiefly connection of Te Kuiti, Te Kotauira. I'm from Te Kotauira. I'm the last born. Te Kotauira reigned from the time of Te Riki Māori and his establishment of the political, or the seven leading chiefs, anointed and invested on the Marae Orongo in Atu. However, that goes right back to Te Kuiti and Te Kotauira's great-great-grandfather, which is Tui Manua Ali Amatua, also known as Karika. He's from the Samoan Manua dynasty.
Now, what I'm really starting to get an understanding is that it's all oral tradition. And so everything that you're saying and every pronouncement or the pronunciation of every word is perfect as it was 300 years ago, 500 years ago. And a lot of these words naturally are foreign to me. So excuse me if I lack sensitivity around this. Because Uatu is the island that you come from. Can you give a little understanding of what life would have been like on this island, say, 270 years ago when Captain Cook was around for the first time? It would have been quite idyllic, but were there fruit that, like pineapples and bananas and a mango there in those days? Could you give us an understanding of, I mean, it'd be a lot of seafood, that'd be one thing, but could you explain a little more so that we get a little sense of how the tribe lived together?
I think, yes, Tim, on the island of Atu, there's nine different sub-tribes on Atu, and amongst them, they all come from Tahiti, Samoa, and all over Polynesia. However, the class of agriculture tenure they used to hold on the island prior to Captain Cook, like taro, that's a normal crop. It's part and parcel of their dietary. Fish also is part of that. But banana is a new variety of banana that was introduced after Captain Cook. But prior to that, mario is our finger, lady finger, the one that you got here, yes, in New Zealand. That was on the island prior to Captain Cook. And yam, those type of crops, or root crops, arrowroot. Mango, there was original mangoes on the island. And again, there's new introduced mangoes to the island later on. But breadfruit is also a native tree.
A grapefruit?
A breadfruit.
Breadfruit.
Breadfruit. It's from Tahiti. So, yes, in between Atu and Tahiti, they normally link to one another through the waka connection as the normal taxi.
Taxi. Which is interesting because it's not too far a distance. And the ocean there would not be as rough as it is when you get further south. It can get rough, but I guess in particular times of a year, certain seasons, you could paddle or use sails and travel that distance maybe in a matter of 4 to 5 days.
Yes, yes, Tim. Not only the navigational issue is a custom and tradition that we hold in Atu. Not only Captain Cook spotted a double-hulled canoe passing them when they came past Mangaia, the island of Mangaia. Captain Cook was doing around about 9 to 10 knots, and this double-hulled canoe was doing 18 knots. So the skills of our ancestors in those days have more vivid and wide than we have today. But using the word taxi, it was a two-way traffic from Tahiti. Tahiti is 750 miles from Tahiti to Rarotonga. It's 538 miles from Atu to Tahiti, to Moria. So it's very close. It's not that far. So it's a day and a half if they do travel, or 2 days.
Very interesting, because I've got a friend who has been focusing on archaeoastronomy and how the Polynesian navigators used the stars to travel the larger or the greater distances, but they could, their senses were so profound, they smelled the air, they could track all the bird life and even the sea life to a degree, and I even heard that one Micronesian tribe up there west of Hawaii, they could put their head under the water, lean out of the canoe, and they could actually tell certain weather conditions from far that were happening. I mean, very sensitive.
Yes, Tim, the most important thing, as I mentioned earlier, on custom and tradition. Some of our navigators, not only navigators, also rangatiras. It comes to the child when they're born. Not only the birthrights of an individual or an individual that's already been anointed before he was born, but the mother and the child goes in the salt water at certain times of year, at certain times of the month, and have that child. So that child is ordained to be a navigator. So it is in the spiritual iroha of that individual.
So is the baby born into the salt water?
Yes, correct.
It's very interesting. Now, I spent some time up in Moscow with a Russian who used to have women have their babies in the Black Sea, and they had dolphins come around in a semicircle and act as the midwives. So there's a very, very interesting connection there, so that babies born into the water become navigators. Wow.
Yes, Tim, and in the big picture, what we have today, Tim, none of these custom and tradition has been followed, nor we are closer to what they used to be, but we're losing them totally. If we don't come together as one people, look at our custom and tradition, what they are, where they are at the moment, and pass them on to young generations, how we're passed on without even having the grasp of what is happening to us today.
Thank you for this too. This is so, so important because, I mean, I'm 70, my next birthday, and my life has just been a fleeting glimpse, and I'm endeavouring to find young children to be able to pass my information on too. So I do understand fully that the customs have to be shared to the young ones. And, we've got a short window, really, haven't we?
Really, yes, Tim. Look, Tim, just want to spread out a little bit more of custom and tradition.
Please.
I think it needs to go back where the authority, the mana, the tikanga, the authority that we need to exercise within our tribes or people or lives of people, itangata, itangata, itangata. However, it lies back to who we are, where we come from. Not only the waka and the migration explains a lot about our connectivity back to Rarotonga, Tahiti, and all these little islands in the triangle of Polynesia. But let's get back to the authority, who you are, what you are. What I am is, Tim, to about to spell out, is that I'm a Tonga in my own rights, and also I'm a paramount chief in my own rights.
Good. Now, a tohunga is a healer and a medicine person, but more extensive than that.
Yes, quite bigger than that, Tim. There are classes of tohungas that are being put in the system in the olden days in our custom and traditions. There are tohunga that kawa, tohunga for planting, tohunga ko rongoa, and tohunga for rangatira waka, and tohunga karakia, and tohunga kōrero, and tohunga for historical genealogy. There's so many classes of that. I'm only talking about the higher status of tohunga high priest that actually have the power, the priesthood, to bestow, anoint a tohunga and a riki, or mateapu sub-chief. This is where our power base lies.
Okay, so you have named many different type of gifted and qualified human beings, and I heard you mention someone about a person who would be able to make the canoes, and he would know all about saying a prayer, having a karakia, taking the tree, putting the tree together. He would know how to carve it all out and all the systems to make that tree end up passing Captain Cook's ship.
Correct.
That's right. And then when you go all the way through, there's all these particular people that we know nothing about.
Yes, I think it's in the Maori custom here that elaborates a little bit more based on the tohunga. In the structure of Maori here, you have a tohunga, a riki, and the rangatira. Those are the three strata projected custom put in place in Dara, and also in some of the tribes here in New Zealand. However, that does not explain further how these manors have been bestowed amongst these three structures in Aotearoa.
Okay, you said the manors. Yeah. Could you explain it? Because a lot of people, we have a lot of people from overseas who listen, and they would like to understand a lot of these words. What was mana to me is having a lot of honour and a lot of power and a lot of goodwill, but you would have another understanding.
Well, let's go back. An individual that becomes a taonga, some of them, or individually, are also being blessed, and they are born gifted with. And some of them, they have to go to the arewananga to learn the vast, greatest knowledge of oral and putting those oral to practical. So this is where I talk about custom. Custom is oral, and tradition is the practical side. You put those two together, it becomes you, you who you are. But when you talk about authority, now that's different. You, Almighty, the great creator, is the only one that passed down these mana to individuals that it will carry out purely for the purpose of safeguarding the people, the tribe, Papatūānuku, and Ranginui.
Okay, you mentioned Io. Io is the supreme greatness, the being.
Yes, Io is the known Io te metua kore, Io te pūmetua o te aumarama, and also is the same as Christianity is preaching today as God.
Thank you. Very good. And then you mentioned Papatūānuku, which in Māori is Mother Earth, which is interesting because in Tonga, Papa Haumia is Mother Earth, from what I can gather, and also in Hawaii, Papa Haumia is Mother Earth, and Ranginui is the Sky Father of the heavens.
And we call in Rarotonga the Papa Inua. The Papa Inua.
Okay.
Which means the same as Mother Earth.
Okay. Papa Inua.
Correct.
Thank you. I mean, this is a great education for me. And so the culture has embedded in it these rituals that go back into the past, and they're taken very seriously when the time comes for a particular ceremony. And so would you like to be able to extend a wee bit on that?
Yes, it is sacred.
Thank you.
The word sacred means tapu, but I'm not quite sure how Māori treats it, the word tapu. When it comes to investiture, anointing a chief or a taonga, the high priest itself have to go through a fast of 7 days, and no eating red meat, octopus, fish, all those restrictions, and even sex. The taonga have to stand firm for 7 days before he even enter the investiture tapu place. However, that custom and tradition has been practiced from the time of the leading chiefs leaving Atu in Wamanu, and right to this day, I'm the living individual of that custom. I'm saying that being able to share and provide the wider image and practical and spiritual side of being a high priest also gives me the autonomy to pass on and anoint a taonga from Aotearoa. Basically because 1910, your taonga rights has been taken by the government, has been wiped out. So that's because Māori itself are practicing the opposite of what we are practicing today in the Cooks and Atu. You've gone further into spiritual context with the wrong side. You give us pureness, and that's why Māori means ma, clean. Ori, tak people. So we're clean in the practical things that we do in our oral and tradition.
All right, I'm working through this because I went down to the Ratna Marae and Whanganui. And there's a sign there that W.T. Ratna was the one who supposedly obliterated tohungaism. This is what the sign says. And I think this is part of the reason why the New Zealand government passed this law that you mentioned, essentially nullifying anything to do with tohunga in New Zealand.
That's right, Tim. Not only that, taking our mana away based on religion beliefs in the Ratana, because in Tauhu, Tarangi, and the seven leading chiefs, or Motayapo Tutara, that left in Wamanu, there was no religion based on anything outside the dark side, but this directly straight to Io. The Karakia is sacred, it goes straight to Io, and the Karakia speaks about Io, that grants that full anointment spiritually. And I think coming from that vocal contact to custom and tradition. The rightful line lineage here in New Zealand to carry out those type of duties or rituals is not the Ratana. It's actually the siblings or line from Tauhu or Tarangi. Yes.
That last name of that person or being, could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Tauhu Tarangi?
Yeah, please.
Yeah. Tauhu Tarangi is one of the seven leading chiefs that was appointed, anointed on the Marae Orongo in Wamanu.
And he, and where?
In Wamanu Atu. Where
on,
I come
on
from.
On your island.
Yes.
Thank you.
When he came here, he established his apu or tribe up Taitukerau.
At where? Waipokerau?
Taitukerau.
Taitukerau?
Yeah, on the top.
Okay,
yes.
Northland.
Northland. And his granddaughter, Awaiti, married Rahiri. And that's the outcome of Ngati Hine and Ngati Ngapuhi today.
Thank you. Oh, it's really, really interesting. Because I was on a beach in Hawaii and Wailua on Kauai. And one of the Hawaiian hunas told me, he said, many years ago, the people from here went to Aotearoa and they were known now as the children of the mist. So we just realized that the vast Polynesian triangle of the Pacific Ocean is in many ways a superhighway of peoples moving around at vast speeds in many cases, and we are only now getting a greater understanding of these connections or hidden connections.
Yes, my hope and Tim for Māoridom, for Pacifica and Polynesia as a whole, not only that our custom and tradition to be handed down to the right line, to the right people, to exercise and to make sure that that mana has been passed down to the right individual or group of people to exercise. We come back, Tim. This is very important to me before I close up.
You're here in Aotearoa and you have a story to tell, because I know myself from having whakapapa allied to Ngāti Kahanunu Te Wairoa and Ronga Whakaata, which is on the east coast of Te Ika o Maui, this North Island, that there is a big challenge in all the tribes, all the hapu coming together and unifying. This is a big, 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 big problem. I had a situation once, and I'll just tell you because it's really clear. I ended up going to the Honewaitere Marae here back in 1984, because there was a group of people of Māori, but there were sociologists and people very concerned about how we can help the young youth, the tamariki and the mokopunas, to adapt and to grow in our society. And I stayed there a couple of nights on this marae, and we were all sleeping around. There must have been about, I don't know, 30 or 40 of us, and it was an insightful weekend. Anyway, I got on the aeroplane, because I was flying with crew of Air New Zealand, and some other person from another particular tribe or hapu came up to me and said to me, "I'm not speaking to you." And I says, "Why?" "Because you went and slept on their marae." And this is a major, major breakdown. The tribalism is still alive in this country. And I've lived in Australia, and often I used to be in queues at the supermarket or queues at the bank, and I'd see a person, I think, "Oh, that person's Māori." And I'd sidle up to them, and I'll say, "Hey, kia ora, bro," or "Kia ora, sister, how are you?" And we'd start talking, and I'd ask her, and the word I'd use is, "What iwi are you from back home?" And they would always give me a sub-tribe. They never gave me the main tribe. And nobody knows half these sub-tribes. And this is what Māori have done. They've gone out to Australia, and they have not taken their tribal animosity over there, and they're working and playing and living together far more cohesively in Australia than they are in New Zealand, because everyone knows them from their sub-tribe, and their sub-tribe is so unknown. All they think, "Oh, let's forget about the sub-tribe. Hey, let's throw another piece of fish on the barbecue." Anyway, carry on.
Thank you, Tim. That's typical of your identity from your whakapapa. It doesn't change any colour or any size and height of who you are. If you're whakapapa directly to, for an example, to Rairi. If you're from Rairi, Rairi has two wives, which is Awaiti and Te Akaruru. So that tupong that comes from Rairi. It didn't say Ngapuhi. Right? But then you look further back, Rairi comes from Puyariki and Puhiariki. Puhi.
Where's that from?
Oh, Puhi, I think his great-grandfather is Puhi. And that's another level up in the whakapapa.
Yes.
Then you look at Rahiri's wife. It comes from Tahuhu. That's a grandfather. So we stop there. The question is, how do we call the tribe? Ngati Hine or Ngati Ngapuhi? Confusing here is getting away from the ownership of who you are. Not only that, he said, Chichiro ki te tarai o Rahiri, means look at me, who I am. I am the primogenitor and I'm the head.
Okay, can you repeat that slowly for people? Because I think it's very important. Look at me for who I am. What is the word for that or group of words?
Yeah, Chichiro ki te tarai o Rahiri. That tells you that look at me from the top of my head right down to my leg. It didn't say, Chichiro ki te tarai o Ngati Hine or Chichiro ki te tarai o Ngapuhi. So, but rightfully, the time and era changed. So Ngati Hine popped out from the bottom part after the 1835 and after the 1840 treaty signing of the treaty. Now, this is very important, Tim. Because of the treaty's been signed, that doesn't mean that's the end of it. What it means is, Tim, the successor of that signatory, of that signing of that treaty, the successor of the lineage or line or person that comes from that, if we say Tiruki Kawiti. Tiruki Kawiti was a chief in his own right.
He was a fighter. He was a fighter up there.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, Tiruki Kawiti also is from Ngati Hine, and also it's part and parcel of Rahiri, because Uenuku is his great-great-grandfather. So what I'm saying is, if that is rightfully that the issue of Tiruki Kawiti should succeed to a rangatira or to a ariki title, then this is the issue that we're going to look at. It's the whakapapa, leading to the male senior line or to the suitable person to hold that title.
Okay, I'm having a lot of difficulty with this, a major difficulty, because there's a lot of names being expressed and I don't know these names to the degree of who they're from. But what you're saying is that let's look at the light behind your eyes and let's deal with that.
Yes.
Yeah. I am speaking with Tui Manua Alia Te Putu Nui O Iwa from Atu, a northern island in Rarotonga in the Cook Islands.
But custom and tradition doesn't allow it to go further than actually superseding what is ancient. What I meant is, should the candidate come from either line, there is someone that has the authority to bestow the mana or to bestow, restore and bestow the actual title or the particular rangatira title or ariki title on this particular person. So it goes back to the whakapapa. It goes back to the actual lineage, who the senior line or the suitability or suitable person to hold the title. So a tohunga needs to be established to make that connection.
Okay, well, in this case, to me, there's complexity around it, which it could actually be quite simple.
It is.
But I would, in many cases, need to see it and sort of act it out.
Yep.
Act it out like nearly like a drama or a play, so that you can see how it is, because you're talking about authority, carrying authority, and then what you're doing is you're transferring this authority to a rightful, a receptor of this authority. And is this, I mean, and it's all done orally.
Correct.
I know that I have heard of a situation where communication is made where a tohunga, particularly with a tamariki, medicine teacher communicating to a young boy, will put their hand on the top of a boy's head, which is supposed to be very sacred, and look into that boy's eyes and say, "Kia ora, this is how it is." And then they'll do chanting, or then they will say what they need to say, but the hand also on the head makes another kinetic connection that shifts the energy from that tohunga to that little boy.
Yeah, that's what we call transferring of that particular mana.
Transferring of that mana. Well, you see, again, the European Pākehā society has lost that understanding virtually completely.
Yeah, I think, Tim, the customary tradition never changed. Like the tree they're standing in front of anywhere, if they breed a tree, stands after Pōtukawa, it's still Pōtukawa. It never changed. It might change the leaves because it's dying out. It's like our culture and custom. You and I, Tim, it's like the tree today that's actually sitting and implanted in Papua Tuanuku. They grow from the start and it goes bigger and then dries out and dies out. It's likewise our custom. But the colour of that tree, the name of that tree never changed. It's still the same.
Okay, the name of that tree never changes. Yeah. Okay, so it carries on that same vibe, because as I want to really state, every word, every enunciation, every syllable, every vowel is crucial in conveying the message.
Yes, referring back to where we are at, Tim, I'm happy to not only to train but ordain and anoint the rightful tohungas that will only carry the duties to invest, anoint e rangatira, tohunga and ariki. That's my duty. That's why I'm here. In 1896, Ngamuru Puvaru, the prince and also the paramount chief of Atu, did try and connect Samoa and some other little islands in the middle of Polynesia, bringing that connectivity of Polynesia together. And in 1948, there also been another attempt. My grandfather came here, went to Tokomaru Bay, and tried to establish the same thing. I came here only to observe and see where we are and where I can help our Maori people to open up their inner iro, their heart, to understand that this is not the only way to go around succeeding the tribunal or the waitangi. We need to actually get the live siblings, life issue, or person that is alive today to succeed to the person that signed, or Tino Rangatiratanga, that signed the treaty. Now, that's the last secret, that the system will not be happy if we manage to do that. That's the secret that's been hidden amongst all of us.
When you say the secret that's been hidden, you're not talking the 1840, you're talking the 1835, is this?
Yes, when you, I'm not quite sure, Tim, you're familiar with the Waka Putanga or the Waka Meringa signing of that treaty, or Independent Day 1835. Have you read it, Tim?
I haven't read it. I've been inundated with data, and I'm wanting bullet points.
Yes.
If I can see things in bullet points very clearly laid out, it helps me a lot. And I know that particular flag in 1935... And the chiefs who signed that, particularly from the northern area, it was an extremely important component to the sovereignty of Aotearoa and Māori in this case.
Yes. I'll just read out a little bit in Māori what he said in that signing. This is my vision and this is my view. I think I have got a right to open up and see where I can help my brothers and sisters in Aotearoa to look at it the other way, instead of just reading it in between the line. When it says, ko mātou te tino rangatira, tanga, means, mātou means us. And then down the bottom of it, number four, it said, te whenua no te tino rangatira, tanga. Means the land belongs to all this heritage or chief. Now, then you got the honest part of it down at the bottom, we say hapu. This is where we need to understand. I will put as much as I can and try and help out, if that makes sense. Hapu is kupu. It's your stomach. This is going back to the structure.
Poku. Oh, yes.
So hapu comes out of from one ngati. Oh, ngati, where does ngati come from? Ngati come from one person that had issues and then had a group of them. And that's what we call ngati. And when you say kupu or hapu, it's only a one direct hapu or kupu or puku line from one lineage, which means the seniority line from the rangatira of that line or that waka or a tohunga from that waka. So when you say hapu as a whole, that's collectively talking about the Maori terms, everybody that comes from in that primogenitor or from the Rairi, for an example. But when you say Ngati Hine, that's a breakaway of the sub-tribes of the main tribe. To my understanding, in that document, what it needs to be done, I hope that everybody will understand, is whoever signed that document, even though it was signed in 1835 and 1840, whoever those tupunas of yours and ours must put their lineage together and appoint, elect the rightful person to lead. Now, appoint and select is two different words. The selection is made by the individual lineage, hapu, of that line. And then there is a saying, there is also a saying, say, tribal. Now, that becomes a ngati selection, which means there's two processes. The senior line appoints a candidate and goes to the tribe, which is the ngati, and say, this is our candidate, what do you think? That's when the kumatuas comes together and sit down and say, he is right or he is wrong.
Kaumatua is an elder.
Yeah, all the elders comes together.
Yep, yep.
Now, because you don't have that political structure from ancient times, so your kumatua is part and parcel of that selection panel. And also your kaitiaki also becomes part of that.
Okay, now kaitiaki means a stewardship or the care of the whole area of the nature.
So these are, I think, the component that's missing within that selection and appointment process. But I think we need to study further. Why was it broken down? Why these things are not happening based on that the political structure of ariki, rangatira and a tohunga? I think not knowing the authority, the tikanga and the kawa, they're based on all these tohunga practice or, yes.
Okay, I'm doing my best to pull it together. Are you saying that for all the people or all the rangatira or the ariki who signed the treaty, we have to go back to their descendants who are alive today and get them to line up with the spirit of the agreement that was supposedly took place and clean up what imbalances or wrongs there are in the treaty? Is this what you sort of...
Yeah, similar to that. What I mean by that, Tim, is that if you were Tim, your grandfather was the, or great-grandfather was the one that signed the treaty, and you're the senior line, and you are exist today, you need to succeed. Your tupuna, basically, is by taking that custom and tradition. If you look at your Ture Whenua, it says down there, custom to be recognized, and customary to be recognized, which means custom is your oral. Customary, what is written of that oral. Now, this is what's missing in that component, Tim.
Okay, well, I'm trusting that others who are more capable than me, particularly who are adept at understanding Māoridom and also when it comes to te reo, the language, will be able to take this further, because essentially we need to come together. Not only is the whole 7.6 billion human beings that share breath on this planet, but as you say, you're from the Rarotongan group of islands, which is in the centre of the Polynesian Triangle. You hold a very strongly balanced position between these three different arms of Hawaii, Easter Island and Aotearoa, New Zealand. I wish to throw in this piece because I met a young Hawaiian, and his sister is Puna. She's a top hula specialist in Hawaii and Kauai. And anyway, Kai, he had been going around the Polynesian islands with exactly the same thought that you had, was to bring all the Polynesian peoples together, because there was something else that was sort of signed by King Kamehameha way back prior to the American government annexing and stealing Hawaii and incorporating it into the U.S.
states.
Yeah, into the states. And anyway, this young guy, Kai, unfortunately died some years later, and this affected many things. because he was pulling certain strings together for all the Polynesian peoples to come under one major umbrella of unity so that they could actually have their say, because essentially the Polynesian nation would have a boundary that would be bigger than continental USA. It would take up so much of the Pacific where they would actually have rights.
Correct. Not only did Hawaii have that significant direction and vision to bring us together. Just going back to history, Po'o and Pili are two Manu'a high priests that left Samoa and went to Hawaii. So Po'o becomes the high priest line of Hawaii, and Pili becomes the Kamehameha line of Hawaii. So we are no different from their vision and what they want us to bind together. But what I hope that our brothers and sisters in Aotearoa don't criticize one another because someone is clever or have a PhD. Come back to simplicity. Look around here to Papatūānuku. That's the first light of understanding, that Papatūānuku, the land resource, the land itself is getting smaller. The economic development of New Zealand and the Pacific is getting huger because of the system that wants to build around it. What happened to Papatūānuku? Get drowned with all this commercialism. What we need to do is put preservation, put rahui, and start going back to our culture, agriculture, way of life, but also start exporting to the Pacific. Tangata Whenua New Zealand should actually plant potato and that crops that we don't have in the Pacific and passed on. That's the normal trade, what we from the Atu to Tahiti in those days. Now, let's do it the opposite. Our brothers and sisters here in the Iwis, Ngāti, Ahapu, whatever it is, bring back their people from the urban area, put back the rule, and put them back on their land, the Papakāinga direction that's in place right now. That's the start, Tim, to start absorbing what is custom and tradition, to safeguard Papatūānuku, our trees, our plants, because I'll tell you right now, the last hope of Pacifica, Polynesia, is Aotearoa. This is where the last light of our well-being and our sustainability, who we are, in our spiritual, mentally, and physical, is here.
Ooh, that's a big statement that you're making. And it's a powerful statement. And it's interesting because I know that maybe 10 years ago there were supposed to be 1,200 marais across New Zealand, meeting places where Māori came together, 1,200. That's a huge number. You can imagine all of them with gardens outside and a large area with kitchens and the whare nui, big, lovely whare nui, which is their meeting house, and really making that place a place of, like a wananga, a place where you could teach cooking, you teach all your customary abilities, shall we say, or and you become healthy when you're growing your top food, and then you from there you could have many tourists come and wanting to understand a full example of how a marae works on a daily basis, etc. There's a lot of magic that could actually happen there, and I was down at Kaikoura, down on the east coast of South Island. And I went to their particular marae, and as I came round, I was shocked. It was just the most fantastic vegetable gardens I'd ever seen. I just stood there thinking, wow, whoever put this one together, they were organized, they were disciplined, they knew what to do, and they were doing it. And if we could supplant that idea, particularly even here in Auckland, in backyards, there's lots of Māori with lots of land. I mean, I have been past many different homes that are devoid of anything, any vegetation in their grounds. And if we can just instill a purpose of growing food at your back door, you're going to then have healthy children. You're not having them going down to all the junk food factories that are around and drinking rubbishy drinks, eating incomprehensible kai, and start growing from your back door. Because when you have that connection with the earth, with Papatūānuku, then the sacred comes in. And this is what I intuit from what you're bringing to Aotearoa 2, is that you're wanting to allow us to realize the unity of us all as many strands in a profound tapestry that is yet to show its face, where the Polynesia comes to the fore and we see that the great Pacifica, this great ocean, has a unified people working for the betterment of the whole, working for the benefit of people, tamariki, which are children, mokopuna, which are grandchildren. And you also mentioned before the word rahui. Rahui is to do with not taking and allowing a time to regenerate for fisheries and for forestry and for all sorts of things. And so, too, what is your parting gift among many of your treasures? But I'm so pleased that you're here to be able to tell us.
Yes, Tim, and again, that's also custom and also tradition. Rahui means one thing, is to preserve whatever that is in that boundary and not to be disturbed for a certain period of time. And should it be a fish area for snapper, whatever, there would be a boundary put in place. But not only just boundary, to tohunga that does the karakia, make sure that no one gets in there, that the fish are protected spiritually. Now, it is important, not only the kaimuana, the kaiwhenua, also papatūnuku itself. And again, all these karakia to the timber, to all material things, must be a spiritual connection to Io, because he is the almighty that allows to be the kaitiaki, as that keeper of papatūnuku. So that's what we need to pass down to our later generation, to allow them to understand these custom and tradition. It is sacred, and at the same time, it is ours. And the important thing is, let be together and unite together as one people, one voice, one nation.
Thank you. You've mentioned the word karakia, as it's very important, because I know from my connection with Māori that if you ask them, say, can we have a karakia, they'll all sit up, they'll be quite intent on listening, because they know that karakia is a sacred, it's a sacred call, it's a sacred chant, it's something that is a spiritual asking. But you may have another word to describe karakia.
Yeah, karakia is the same as sacred. Not only that particular karakia is a chant, it's only chanting to you. Some people use karakia the opposite, but where I come from, the karakia is sacred for investiture, anointing, and straight to you. Nothing more than that. And also the karakia blessing, always in even the Rawi area, there's a karakia for that. And the land planting for certain fruits, whatever, to prosper, whatever, to grow, there's a karakia for that. There's so many karakias that is in place already. But the main karakia I'm talking about is the karakia from you, the individual, and the instrumental person to Io. That's the karakia that's important to me.
And we must always remember that Io is, for want of a better word, God or the Supreme Being or the Creator or the Source or...
Yes.
Or all of these wonderful names to express acknowledgement and connection to something that's far, far beyond our comprehension.
Correct. Io I te rangi teite, Io I te rangi marama, Io I te aunui, Io I te aumairua, ake ake e karire. Amen.
Thank you so much too. Ake ake ake, forever and ever and ever. Yes, well, you see, it's profound. We are on this planet at the moment where we're starting to realize that there's only one place for us to go is inside. Even though a great journey is going from one side of the Pacific to the other great journey for the human race is go from their head to their heart.
Yes, correct. Correct, Tim.
Got 30 seconds. Would you like to end with a little karakia?
Yes, I would like to close us in the karakia, Tim. Io te rangitete. Io te amarama. Io te inuaravae ki rungai ki raro te orangi. Ko koe to matu mitua, ko koe to matu atu, ko koe to matu haroa te o mea ravarai. O rongo mai te kite te pakari, kia mau ko timi, pera ko tō mau kupu tangata e te wakatangata. Nā au te kamainu o nganui, ko koe te oranga whairua, te roanga tangata, e tangata, e tangata. Aka maini mwe ko ia mau e tuata o watu. Nā rote te ingoa mana o tau tamaiti, anotai ko ia orongo matane, ake ake e karire. Amen.
Kia ora, brother. Thank you. I have been speaking with Tui Manua Alia Te Putu Nui O Iwa. His email is tuiimanuaalia@gmail.com. tuiimanuaalia@gmail.com. A snail mail address is at 17 Hanover Street, Wellsford, 0900 Northland. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies. But of 7.6 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. And this was tweet by OurPlanet.org here in Auckland, New Zealand, for the 21st century. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 400 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world, and become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and OurPlanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch.
And or Lisa Eyre.
And Liz Gunn.
In the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere ra. Thank you for tuning into this Green Planet radio show. I trust you have derived both enjoyment and insight as we empower ourselves with a greater understanding of the magnificent, multifaceted world that we inhabit. In these coming times of rapid change, it's going to take raw courage and inner resolve. And so I thank you as we all remain both focused yet relaxed as we challenge the status quo and let go of the old as we energetically co-create the new paradigm. Because I can assure you, every one of you are important now. When you go to bed tonight, ready for well-earned rest and sleep, realize that what you think, feel, and do is part of your unfolding destiny. And when we commit to a higher act of goodwill and or community service, Providence also lines up, so that every conversation we have, every email we send, every phone call we make, and every meeting we attend, that we stand in our power and communicate intelligently, warmly, with integrity, knowing that we are actively shaping a collective future that will benefit all our children and grandchildren, as well as that of a larger community. This is Tim Lynch in Auckland from Nuclear Free New Zealand, and mobilizing unity consciousness, wishing you a stupendous week of heartfelt success. I say bye-bye and haere ra.